Welcome to Simple Living Works, Episode 7. I'm Jerry Iverson. I'm pleased to be your host and present the second installment of the six-part adaptation of the popular Advent Christmas resource, Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? This time featuring Alternative's classic, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity. Choosing to live simpler lives is a faithful, satisfying, and effective lifestyle. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. In addition to being the most widely read and best-known resource produced by Alternatives, some 25 annual editions, Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? Was also a 30-minute radio program. I'm presenting the six-part adaptation of Whose Birthday. I hope you'll listen to the entire series, though each part is self-contained. Each part contains an audio short, such as, What Does Jesus Want for Christmas? We'll have numerous guests. This series contains most of Alternative's audio shorts, plus items from Whose Birthday, featuring the reflections and real-life experiences of Esther Armstrong for the Advent Christmas season. The links to all the audio and text resources in this episode are given in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org. Click on window number 3. For many people, the celebration of Christmas has become an ordeal rather than a joy. The pressure to spend ever more money on gifts, decorations, food, and entertainment has turned this holy day into a field day for retailers. Even those who would like to reclaim Christmas as a family-centered celebration of Christ's birth find it difficult to resist the massive pull of advertising, social expectations, and family customs. The purpose of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas is to challenge the commercialization of Christmas, to encourage people to reflect on their own celebrations, and to support efforts to make Christmas celebrations less consumer-oriented and more meaningful. The consequences of changing Christmas celebrations go far beyond just making Christmas a more meaningful occasion, however. What if even a small portion of the billions spent each Christmas on gifts, decorations, and trappings went to people who really needed it? What if changing patterns of celebration at Christmas opened the way for living more simple, less consumer-oriented lifestyles during the rest of the year as well? What if Christmas became a time to truly commit oneself to continuing the work of Christ? Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas helps us to explore these issues in a lucid, non-judgmental fashion. See the link in the show notes for a free study action guide for yourself, your family, and your congregation or group. Visit simplelivingworks.org. Click in window number 3. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Welcome to Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? A radio magazine for the Christmas season from Alternatives for Simple Living. I'm Jerry Iverson. On today's program, we'll present the complete classic, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. We'll give you ideas for celebrating a simpler, more meaningful Christmas season. Stay tuned for a reflection and a touching real-life experience. December 6th is St. Nicholas Day. To learn more about the story of Bishop Nicholas, visit www.stnicholascenter.org.
December 7th. Instead of buying gifts for friends, invite them to a potluck or a no-host dinner at a restaurant. Being together is more important than getting and giving more stuff.
December 8th. Gandhi rightly says, There's enough for everyone's need, but not for everyone's greed.
December 9th. Offer alternatives for gift-giving. Write a letter to family and friends, sharing your feelings about Christmas giving. Suggest gifts you would like to receive, like a donation to a soup kitchen, or a gift of their time.
December 10th. Luke 12 says, One's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions.
December 11. Proverbs 30 says, Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that I need.
We hope those ideas are helpful. We'll have more on our next program. A daily calendar for the whole Christmas season is available free of charge.
The reflection for the second Sunday of Advent encourages us to live in harmony.
Advent invites us to live in harmony with one another, with our brothers and sisters, near and far. We are to live in harmony even with those we are repulsed by, those we fear, hate, ignore. We live in harmony when we invite to our tables those who are different than we are, people who live out of shopping carts, people who stand at intersections holding signs asking for work or seeking some money, people of a different religious faith, or people who have no faith at all, people of strange political lifestyles, people different in culture or age or abilities. When we begin truly to hear another's story, we will begin to see him or her as our brother and sister, as a real person with real joys and pains. We all have stories to tell, stories that identify who we are. We begin to live in harmony when we place ourselves in proximity with those we don't understand, those we dislike, fear, or feel superior to, not to fix or change or convince them, not to give them used clothes we no longer need, not to tell them what they should believe or how they should live, nor even to build them something so we can feel good. Rather, we place ourselves in proximity with such people in order to be present, to listen and learn from them, to have our hearts broken into, and to have our own lives changed. When we put ourselves in proximity to those we don't know, they can become our teachers. They will teach us about our prejudices, insecurities, aversions, and hates. When we fail to actively engage in the lives of our brothers and sisters, we end up creating and or believing the myths about them. We keep them in boxes of bias, which only perpetuate stereotypes. We call them names that hurt or condescend to caricatures, or worse, ignore their existence. We fail to see them as individuals with stories to tell. Jesus comes to those of us who are outcasts, to those who make poor choices and wallow in failed dreams. He comes for the executive, panhandler, farmer, prostitute, superstar, prison inmate, mystic, addict, IRS agent, AIDS victim, prophet, and artist. The person Jesus comes for is us.
And this Advent, he calls us to love, to be of good will, and to live in harmony with one another.
Questions to ponder.
Whom do you fear, hate, or not wish to welcome to your table?
What stereotypes, myths, or biases do you hold or help to perpetuate?
Whom do you ignore or blame so you don't have to see the other as your neighbor?
A real life experience. Live in harmony. Stand in proximity with our brothers and sisters.
We were on a trip of perspective to Haiti. We gathered in a small circle at the home of our friends. When one of our participants shared that he had wanted to visit for a long time and do something for Haiti, our Haitian host, who more than loves his country, responded, "Yes, you should come, and then go home and invite all the people of the world to charter flights, rent boats, and create a civilian invasion. Let them come by the hundreds to stand beside the Haitian people and say, 'This situation is finished.' Let the people come from all over the world. Let the boats carry people to, not carry refugees from, Haiti. If 2,000 or 3,000 come to stand with us and say, 'There must be an end to this injustice,' then the United Nations or the Organization of American States would not need their weapons. This is the greatest philosophy on earth, to come and stand in solidarity with your sisters and brothers. People like you can do this, and in doing so, you are fulfilling your human mission, to set at liberty those who are bound. If you have come here to free me, I feel sorry for you. But if you believe our freedom is tied together, then we can work together to be free."
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. This wonderful vintage recording may amuse you, but its message of a simpler Christmas is as relevant as ever.
We have Christmas because a long time ago in Bethlehem, Jesus was born in a stable and everybody wanted to come and look at him. And so we celebrate Christmas because Jesus is the Son of God that was the day he was born.
I love the whole atmosphere of Christmas. I love the decorating, the getting ready with Christmas tree and the ornaments and things of that kind.
The Christmas that most impressed me was when I was 12 years old and I was already working 40 hours a week. My dad said, "Come along, you can pick out anything you want for Christmas." What an invitation. And I remember picking out a paint set and it cost $2.40. A tremendous amount to spend, but I've been painting and drawing ever since.
At Christmas time, we go to church and sing a lot. One of the songs we sing is "Santa Claus Loves the Little Children, All the Children of the World."
Christmas time is a kaleidoscope of colors and sounds and feelings and memories. As December nears, the pace of life picks up all around us. We remember past Christmases, and we try to repeat the good things or change what we didn't like so well. It seems that there are more children in the world at Christmas time, perhaps because their excitement and wonder shine from their faces. Or perhaps we see ourselves as the children we were in their anticipation. As Christians, we find Christmas even more magical and awesome because the gift of Jesus Christ began it all. Coming of that small child, none of this would be happening. In the still of that night 2,000 years ago, a quiet celebration began. And it has grown to enormous proportions in his name. But is it really in his name? It's easy to forget that tiny child in Bethlehem. We say that every year. Preachers preach it, and we say it to each other at the shopping mall. Nevertheless, Christmas has become a $20 billion a year industry. Advertisers touch on our deepest emotions of affection, love, and generosity in order to get us to spend money, often for things that we can't afford and don't need.
How can we untangle our celebration so that we keep the joy and magic and excitement without losing sight of the wonder and grace and almost unbelievable gift of the Son of God? The Bible is full of celebrations. David celebrating the return of the Ark of God to Jerusalem. The triumphal entry of Jesus on Palm Sunday. The wedding at Cana. Celebration plays a crucial role in our lives. It's a time to let go of our everyday existence and focus on how we wish things would be all of the time. For Christians, the Christmas celebration is a way of being grateful for what we've been given in Christ. It's also a time to think about how we can live out the Spirit of Christ here today. And so Christmas has become a time of joy and gift-giving, of coming together with family and friends to recognize the love we share with each other. But somewhere along the way, something happened. Something was twisted. And many of us find ourselves with vague feelings of unrest, sadness, anger, and disappointment at Christmas time. Perhaps it's because we've forgotten whose birthday it really is. All of us are victims of the consumer society. We're inundated with urges and appeals to buy. At the same time, we ourselves perpetuate the system each and every time we respond to those irresistible appeals.
I hate going to shopping malls before Christmas. The closer it gets, the more desperate it begins to feel.
I wish somehow we could take away that pressure to have to spend so much money and energy.
I think it's a great letdown. It's like any good thing. It's neat to think about it and prepare for it, but when it's gone, it's gone.
In the 19th century, the Industrial Revolution changed forever our perception of goods and products. Until that time, people had believed that God was calling us to work hard and live frugal lives. But when machinery and technology developed, there were more and more things to buy, and not that many people willing to buy them. Thus, the advertising business came to be, in order to inform people about products that were available. Many of the items were things people needed, and it was useful to let them know where they could be acquired at the best price. But soon, so many products were for sale that in order for their manufacturers to sell them, a different tactic was developed. Consumers began to be told that they needed these products, and the values of society began to change. Instead of thrift and frugality, we began to be told that an important value was to buy, to acquire things in order to be happy, healthy, successful, and good. It all tied in with our work. We needed to work hard in order to have money to buy things. Now we didn't work for the glory of God, but for our personal happiness. Other people, the environment, and spiritual values were no longer as important as our accumulation of things.
Live in a throwaway society, and nowhere is it so evident as in the commercial preparation for Christmas. Hundreds and thousands of trees give their lives to grace living rooms and to be turned into wrapping paper and greeting cards. Barrels and barrels of oil are chemically changed into war toys, household gizmos, talking dolls, and holiday decorations. But doesn't our economy depend on big spending at Christmas? The fact is that lots of people need to spend more for food, clothing, and shelter. And all of us could benefit by spreading out our spending throughout the year.
I wonder as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die for poor.
Let's get down to basics. What about Christmas presents? What are we saying with them? Why do we give them? How do we feel about getting them? The wise men brought gifts to Jesus: gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the original Christmas presents. The wise men just may have been embarrassed when they arrived with their gifts. Perhaps baby Jesus would have been better off with a new blanket or food for his parents and their guest. If the wise men had known whom they were going to honor before they left their castles, would they have brought different gifts?
I think gifts are a way to tell people that we care about them, that they're important to us. Gift giving is a time to share something of myself with somebody else.
We give each other gifts for many reasons. The common thread is our attempt to give people something they might like. Sometimes we get that confused and give them something we want. But usually our intent is to give presents that will bring happiness. In fact, the original idea of Santa Claus came from St. Nicholas, a man who lived in the 3rd century and gave gifts anonymously and only to those people who really needed them. Many people try to teach their children to remember that Christmas is a celebration of the birthday of Jesus and that we should honor him. But what gifts would Jesus want if he could tell us? And how can we humans actually give Jesus a birthday present at Christmas?
I think Jesus wants us to do things and to give things to people in our towns that need our help. He said it in the parable about the man who got to heaven and couldn't get in because he had refused to give Jesus food when he was hungry, or clothes when he had none, or visit him when he was sick or in prison. It's a matter of our being willing to give Jesus Christ what he wants, especially at Christmas.
For is paid the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the heaven looked down when he lay. The
Let's face it, the way we celebrate Christmas is not good news for the poor. Almost everybody has a TV these days. Even very poor children watch Saturday morning cartoons and see the toy commercials. How many poor children decide that since they didn't get what they asked for from Santa, they must be bad people? And how do parents feel when their children are disappointed on Christmas morning? Being poor in a consumer society doesn't usually allow for a happy Christmas of toys and games and good food.
Christmas in a poor family is a time of great stress because there's pressure for you to do the right things for your kids and for your family, and you just can't. None of the kids are ever going to get what they want, what they dream of, what they talk about. And so it's another way of telling you, if you're poor, that you're not of as much value as the other kids who live on the other side of town that live in nice houses and get bicycles and ponies for Christmas.
There are ways that Christmas can become a time to make our Christian ideals more real. There are ways to make the holidays more meaningful. There are ways to reduce the aches we feel after Christmas. Some of the ways are simple, and some are more radical. But all kinds of people are creating their own way of celebrating Christmas. Celebrations that combine the decorations and colors and sounds and smells and memories in ways that are gifts to the Christ child.
We found that in our family, each person often really, really wants just one particular thing for Christmas. So we all go in together to see that they get that one item, even if they don't get a lot of smaller presents.
Getting ready for Christmas is a big event at our house. During Advent, we make presents and decorations, and we have an Advent calendar on the wall that the children enjoy. Then on Christmas morning, we celebrate Christmas itself, having celebrated Advent during the weeks before.
Last year, for a Christmas tree, we decorated one of our large houseplants. It looked great with decorations on it, and we could keep the tree all year.
What I'm trying to do is simply emphasize all of those non-material things about Christmas that I love, and then protest as loudly as possible when the peer pressure says, yes, but we have to buy this and this and this.
When you think about not buying Christmas gifts, and there's this big vacuum of, what can I do now? I thought about making something, but I'm not very crafty, so last year I made up a coupon books with things my wife could redeem all through the year. For instance, there was a coupon for a Saturday when I would happily do any of the fix-it jobs around the house that she wanted done.
Shelters for the homeless are very busy in cold weather, and they need lots of food to feed the hungry. Our church group made 1,000 sandwiches one night as our Christmas gift to the shelter.
We've adopted some older people who go to our church and don't have any other family. They're always part of our Christmas and other holidays, and our children give them gifts and love them like grandparents.
We found that the less time we spend running around frantically buying presents, that the more time we have to be together and do things as a family.
Last year, we decided to go visit prisoners at Christmas. It turned out there was a JC chapter in the prison collecting toys and food for needy families. So we helped them get the donations they needed to help others.
There are a lot of things in the world already that can be recycled into new Christmas presents. I go to thrift stores and buy slightly moth-eaten sweaters and applique butterflies and birds and flowers over the holes. They make beautiful gifts, and I make them myself.
We make our own wrapping paper every year by dipping folded up white tissue paper in bowls of food coloring. Every piece is unique. It's inexpensive, and it's also lots of fun.
We like to buy socks and underwear and give them to groups who then pass them along to people who need them. Then we tell our friends and family that the things were donated in their names as Christmas gifts.
There are lots of international students and colleges in our city, and at Christmas we invite one or two into our home to share Christmas with us.
There's no doubt that gifts are important. We just decided that what our family really needed was a world without war and hunger, and with a safe environment and less racism and injustice. So instead of spending so much this Christmas on presents and decorations, we took 25% of what we spent last year and gave it to organizations that work toward a better world. Even though it wasn't that much money, we felt like we'd used Christmas to make a first step toward committing ourselves to some of the ideals Christ stood for, and that felt good.
When we cut back on unnecessary spending at Christmas, we find that we have extra money and more time to share with family and friends and with all those Christ came to serve. If we make this a time to strengthen our commitment to the disadvantaged, the outcast, the displaced, Christmas really can become good news to the poor.
Our gifts to Jesus can take many forms. By living and giving at Christmas in ways that honor Christ's message of peace, justice, and care for our world and its people, we can experience a different way of being as Christians that will change our lives during the rest of the year as well, even after the wrapping paper is gone and the sounds of carols have faded in the winter air.
We hope you've enjoyed Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, a Burst Gosa production brought to you by the folks at Alternatives for Simple Living, who provide resources for a simpler lifestyle, especially at Christmas. Alternatives has been providing resources for responsible living since 1973. Its mission is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. On our next program, we'll share 10 free, fun things your family can do at Christmas time. Also, we'll feature What Does Jesus Want for Christmas?, as well as more reflections and real-life experiences, the calendar for the week, and more favorite carols you've never heard before. Thank you for joining us on Whose Birthday Is It, Anyway?, a radio magazine from Alternatives for Simple Living. Alternatives was begun over 30 years ago to help people find happiness and meaning in life through relationships rather than stuff, by getting to know ourselves, our family and friends, our beloved Earth and all its inhabitants, and especially God.
You've been listening to the second of six parts of the radio version of Whose Birthday Is It Anyway?, featuring Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Well, you're welcome to contribute to the online version of Whose Birthday. This year's edition will be updated online as new material arrives, so send ideas and items anytime. Prepare something now while it's really on your mind, such as art. Art that depicts the tension between faith and culture, especially at Christmas. Or personal experiences, especially intergenerational ones, related to simplifying Christmas or finding meaning and happiness in relationships instead of stuff. Or family activities, rituals, or worshipful celebrations for Advent, Christmas, or Epiphany. We reach many through our website, blogs, and other media. Sorry, we cannot pay for any submissions. To read the complete submission guidelines and past editions, use the link in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, click in window number 3. We've received some encouraging response. Christine Sine from Mustard Seed Associates wrote, "Gerald, so glad you are doing this. I will mention it in my blog in the next few days. Would you mind if I repost one of your blog posts? I also thought you might be interested in the blog series I will host over the season called Advent and Christmas are coming. It's time to prepare. Thanks, Christine. I hope others will follow your example and repost Simple Living blogs and retweet, too. Then we heard from Leah. She said, "Hi, Gerald. I love your site. Found it via Christine Sine. Thanks for all the resources. I work with the Christian Conservation Organization, and this is right up our alley. Peace, Leah at leahcostamo.com. See the links for these responses in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org. Click window number 3. More comments next episode. Well, need help urging, persuading, nudging family members, friends, and congregation members to consider a simpler lifestyle, especially at Christmas time? Most of Alternative's free Simpler Living educational and inspirational resources have an introduction that will help you introduce it to them. But most also have a media release that was originally meant to promote the resource in newspapers, magazines, and on the internet. Well, since they're already in electronic form, these releases can also be used on your church website as an email blast to members or friends or relatives, or as a helpful face-to-face introduction, either one-to-one or at a committee meeting. Here's how the process might work. First, click on any of the resources in the show notes or the Simple Living Works blog that you'd like to use, such as Unplug the Christmas Machine Workshop, very popular. Number 2, there will most likely be a media release link near the top of the page. Click the link, then read the release. 3, use it to help introduce the resources to friends, relatives, and members. And 4, then use the release to promote the activity or event after it's adopted and before the event starts, in a newsletter, email blast, website, whatever. By the way, if the information is confusing, please let me know so I can fix it. Thanks. In episode 8, I'll present part 3 of Whose Birthday, featuring What Does Jesus Want for Christmas? You're welcome to share your thoughts, too. Email a message to podcast@simplelivingworks.org or post something on our Facebook page or on the Simple Living Works blog. All those addresses are given in the show notes at our website, simplelivingworks.org, in window number 3. Time to wrap up episode number 7 of Simple Living Works. We'd love to know you as a subscriber to this podcast and to the blogs we post new each week. Subscriptions are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will now through iTunes or Stitcher or your favorite podcast service. Urge your friends to do the same. Remember to like us on Facebook and review us in iTunes. Provide your email address to receive our monthly Simple Living Works e-newsletter. We sell nothing and solicit and accept no donations. All our resources and services are free of charge. We're an all-volunteer organization. For music credits, see the show notes in Simple Living Works. Click on window number 3. And we're glad to report that Earth Mama has a new release called A Sense of Place. And that information is given in the show notes also. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share and Share Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on the link on our homepage at simplelivingworks.org. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works Podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly.
Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live.